I wrote Double Down Blues while dealing blackjack at the Riverbend Casino in Albuquerque. I told myself that I went to work in the casino to get the experience I needed to develop my protagonist, Jackie, to get first-hand experience of what a dealer's life is like. Now I know I did it to escape the person I was in Phoenix, the mousy, dumpy bookworm I've always been. My transformation began there, in Albuquerque, vicariously at first through the recklessness of my alter ego, Jackie. Then, as I emulated her through my own recklessness. A guy I met at a $5 table one night took me up in his airplane early the next morning. I remember it clearly, though it seems like a lifetime ago. How long has it been? Maybe 4 years now? It was a still and frosty high desert morning in November. The airplane was parked under a tiny shed out in a field. He pulled the ancient yellow contraption out into the morning sunlight, tied the tail end of it to a shed, and pulled the propeller around and around to start the engine. It sputtered and caught and finally rumbled to life. We got in, me very bravely, and took off from that field. We climbed out over the valley alongside the Sandia ridgeline, our cross-shaped shadow gliding across the craggy, cactus-strewn mountainside. As we sailed between the prickly ground and the infinite blue sky, every ordinary thing was transmuted to glorious. I still remember how I felt, sitting behind him in that narrow, frail contrivance of wood and canvas. Midway Publishing had just accepted my manuscript, and I was drunk on the thrill of it. The freedom of leaving the earth behind, of going wherever we wished under our own power, was a perfect metaphor for my success. At that moment, anything seemed possible. Then Eddie, his name was Eddie, shouted, "Hang on!" over the roar of the engine. The plane suddenly heaved backward on its tail, nose skyward, and slowed until we seemed to hang motionless on the whirling propeller. All of the wind and engine sounds faded to silence. "Auto-rotation," Eddie barked. As if on command, the body of the thing that held us in space shuddered with a death throw and rolled to one side like a breaching whale. The nose fell through the horizon and pointed straight down toward the pale New Mexican dirt, and the entire machine began to whip around in a tight corkscrew. Fear snatched the breath from my throat, even though I knew it had to be a boyish prank meant to impress me. Then Eddie threw his hands over his head, and the airplane magically began to fly again. I did not speak to him after that. Ever. "All I had to do was let go of the controls, and it'd fly right out of it," he said, as if that made any difference. "Auto-rotation," I say aloud to the empty apartment. I now feel that same panic, the whipping, uncontrolled downward spiral. In the windshield, the ground spins closer and closer, the eerie silence. If I take my hands from the controls, will everything return to normal as it did on that day? Will my life know how to right itself as that little airplane did? The Riverbend had a pit boss as tough and cold as a drill sergeant. Blackjack dealers turned over as regularly as a four-deck shoe, and each time one left, even someone everyone would miss, the guy's only comment was, "Just like taking your finger out of water." That's how much of a dent we made in his existence. I hated that petty, arrogant man. "Big fish in a small pond," I griped behind his back. The day I left the casino, when I knew I would live as a writer, I told him exactly what I thought of him.
"Let me tell you something, Leona," he said with a smirk. "You were trash when you walked in that door, and you'll still be trash when you walk out of it."
I'll never forget the cruel precision of his words. I buried Leona Lingo in New Mexico, legally pronounced her dead, and transformed myself into my wildest vision of success. Yet the fulfillment I expected to accompany my metamorphosis remains elusive. I drag my stubborn old self behind me like a corpse, tied to my back.